This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Foreign investors are getting more access to China. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. On this last business day of 2016, China says it will further open its financial industry to foreign companies. In a late news conference today, the government announced that restrictions in areas like banking, insurance, and fund management will be relaxed. Christopher Balding is a professor of economics at Peking University's HSBC Business School. He joins us from Shenzhen, China. Christopher, what's behind this move by the Chinese government?
I think there's two things behind it. First of all, there is widespread discontent by international investors about access into the Chinese marketplace. And so Beijing opening up this sector to foreign institutions seems to be a good way to placate governments seeking better access for their firms. And then the other thing is that the Chinese financial system really is in rickety shape. And so what they're likely trying to do is also tap international capital to help prop up some of their own institutions.
And there are specific sectors that seem like they might benefit from this in particular, things like rail transportation, ethanol, even motorcycle manufacturing. Why these sectors in particular?
These are not, when you're talking about building an ethanol plant or laying large amounts of rail, these are not low capital investments. And so given the strain that the Chinese financial sector is currently under to keep this level of credit growth going, it's probably very helpful to have a large inflow of foreign capital, which is what they're hoping for with this move.
Christopher Balding is a professor of economics at Peking University's HSBC Business School. He joined me from Shenzhen, China. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
The coming Trump administration has a long list of planned policy changes. This morning, we thought we'd have a look at one area in particular, what a Trump presidency means for U.S. strategies in space. Joining me to talk about this is Marcia Smith. She is the founder and editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
So in a couple of weeks, we'll have a new president. What sorts of changes can we expect in U.S. space policy during a Trump administration?
In terms of NASA programs, the biggest concern is that he is going to remove NASA's responsibilities for doing Earth science satellites related to climate change research. There have been some comments by advisors to him that that's one of their plans, and that's what the community is worried about most right now.
The private side of the space industry has grown dramatically under President Obama. What do we know so far about President-elect Trump's plans for the balance between the private sector and the government in this area?
Well, I think that there is widespread support, at least philosophically, in both Republican and Democratic camps for private sector initiatives and for NASA to continue to pursue the public-private partnerships that it's become known for in terms of supplying the space station with cargo right now and eventually for crew. The outstanding question is whether or not anyone in the government is willing to become reliant on the private sector for doing some of these things. For example, there's a big debate over whether NASA should continue to build its big rocket, the Space Launch System, or to rely on a private company like SpaceX, which talks about building its Falcon Heavy rocket, and to use that to pursue human exploration beyond low Earth orbit.
Both Donald Trump and the GOP, which now controls Congress, have talked a lot about reducing government spending, and most space programs come with a B for billion attached. What do we know about the future plans for spending on NASA and other space-related programs?
Well, we really don't know anything. That's the honest answer. And you can have a president like President Obama, who was very supportive of the space program during his campaign and throughout his presidency has expressed support for space exploration and space science. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of formulating budgets, especially the stay within budget caps, it's very difficult to make those trade-offs as to where to put whatever government money there's going to be.
Marcia Smith is the founder and editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you, the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. If you could donate at marketplace.org by December 31st.
Angry parents are taking to social media to complain about the hottest toy of the holiday season, Hatchimals. It would appear that some of the furry electronic toy birds encased in an artificial eggshell are not performing as advertised. Some of the Hatchimals aren't, well, hatching. So what does this very public customer dissatisfaction signal for the toy maker, Spin Master? Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Hatchimals have to be coaxed out of their eggs, as explained in this video.
Pick up the egg and hold it.
But Nicole McKenzie in Ontario, Canada, says her daughter spent more than an hour stroking their Hatchimals to no avail.
You know, if it was just, you know, even one out of the two that didn't work, fine. But it's both.
She wants replacements or her $160 back, but can't reach Spin Master, the manufacturer, by phone. The company says it's adding call center capacity and helping many customers successfully troubleshoot. Research analyst Stephanie Wissink at Piper Jaffray says the glitches could weigh on Hatchimal sales in coming months.
You know, if the company is going to address this glitch within their production process, it could create a lag in their ability to come back to the market with inventory.
But Chris Byrne of the toy review site TTPM says,
whenever you've got a technology-driven product, there are going to be a certain level of defectives.
He says Hatchimals could still enjoy even stronger sales in their second year, as other hit toys have. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.